right, man, I hate to break this up. You guys are clearly glad to see each other, and that's good. That's good. I want to say thanks to Mike Wilkins for a great sermon last Sunday. I got to listen to that after I returned, and just a great, great time. And I don't know about you, I'm ready for the new year. Last year was a great year for me, but I have to believe this year's going to be even better. Amen? And I like to think that way, and I hope you're thinking that way. And I'm really glad to start this new year together with all of you. A new year is, you know, the holidays are all wrapped up. We've returned to work, or you're about to return to work, hopefully a little refreshed, or maybe just exhausted, I'm not sure. But it is a natural time to look ahead with anticipation, isn't it, as we gather here on the first Sunday of January. So I'd like to start by praying before we open up God's Word, and just asking God to open our hearts as we open God's Word. Would you do that with me? Let's just pray together. Father, we take this moment to pause and to say, speak to us today. Lord, you know my prayer all this week has certainly been that we would hear from your Holy Spirit today, that the words that get shared would come from you, that they would glorify you, that we would have a witness in our own spirits that we've heard from you today, and that for every human heart here, there would be a sense that your Holy Spirit is tapping on the shoulder, knocking at the door, saying, I'm here, and I have things to say to you, and I have a life to give you. So, Father, my prayer, our prayer this morning, is that we'll hear from you, and that we'll leave this place knowing in our soul we met with God. That's our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Are you ready? Are you ready? This is the question I sense the Spirit asking. Get ready, and you'll want to be ready. This is the admonition, the encouragement I hear in my heart the Lord giving, not only for myself, but I think even more so for us as a church. Are we ready? The question I feel called to ask us this morning, are you ready? Are you ready to go deeper? Are you ready to reach farther? If you want to say yes to that, you can. Are you ready for greater sacrifice? Are you ready for richer blessing, for sweeter fellowship, for even more fruitful ministry? Man, I'm ready for that. Are you ready to meet more neighbors, welcome more souls, see more baptisms, send more missionaries? Are you ready for that? Are you ready to break more chains of addiction? Are you ready to escape more depths of depression? Are you ready for that? Are you ready to speak more truth with even more love? Are you ready to complain less and accomplish more? No elbows, please. No. Are you ready to forget the excuses behind the good you don't do and remember instead the reasons for the good you simply must do? Let me ask that one more time. Are we ready to forget the excuses behind the good we haven't gotten around to doing? And instead, remember the reasons for the good we know we simply must do. I don't know about you, I get sick of excuses. I'm ready for reasons to grow and to go in the name of Jesus. Are you ready? Are we ready? These are the questions that I want to bring to us this morning. I believe God is looking for and is glorified by a ready church, a church that's prepared for what He has to do in and through us. Can I get an amen? We're going to spend the next few weeks talking about our values and purpose as a church. What's ahead, what we're all about, and what it means to each of us. We're going to remind ourselves of what's most important and recommit ourselves to the mission. I'm ready to ask all of us, where are we with Jesus? Where are each of us with His church? And as we, as Outlook Christian Church, as this unique family of believers, are we ready to unite ourselves and move into a new year and see God accomplish great things through us? Are we ready for that? These next few weeks also coincide with our next giving initiative. We're calling it Prepared. We're going to talk about the tangible tasks that lie before us, our very spiritual mission, but we're going to talk more about that in a few minutes. So as you and I and we start 2019, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. Come every week for the next 6 weeks. Every week. Don't fall for the idea, I'll come every other week, that's good enough, or I'll come when I can. I want to challenge you, come every week for the next 6 weeks as we reinvest ourselves in what it really means to be a Christ follower, to be an outlooker, as we commit ourselves to prayer, even a day of fasting in the weeks ahead, as we ask God, move through us as Outlook Christian Church. Lord, use us in ways you've not yet used us. Reveal to us, Lord, things we haven't seen yet about our own individual lives. And as that is taking place in us collectively, we will see something amazing happen in us as a congregation. That's what I'm calling us to. So if you'll accept my challenge, come every week for the next 6 weeks and don't miss. Bring your Bibles and be ready to receive. Not what I have to say, God help us, but what the Spirit has to say to us as the church. Amen? Amen. Let's do that. Open your Bibles with me, and if you want to still grab a Bible, you can off those carts. We're going to be on page 779 in these Bibles on the Bible carts. We're looking in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. Second chapter of 1 Corinthians today, starting in verse 1, page 779. What we're going to see is that God has amazing things in store for anyone who will simply choose Him and His life. And His life. So let's look at verse 1. Paul's writing to these Christians. He says, "When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." The Apostle Paul is reminding these Corinthians, these are just Christians who are living in the city of Corinth, that's why we call them Corinthians. He's just reminding these Corinthians of the days he first met them and preached to them. He says, "I told you about God, I told you the gospel of Jesus, and that's all I did. I kept it simple," he said, because it is a simple, beautiful truth. And I love starting here because I want us to understand that it is always and only about Jesus. Says, "I resolved to know nothing except Jesus and Him crucified." Because that is the central point of all of life. This reminds me of our own church's value. We call it devotion, and we declare that we love Jesus. That nothing's more important than becoming like Him. Jesus defines everything we are. Amen? His arrival into the world, into our time and space, into our hearts and our lives is the defining moment of not only human history, but our history, mine and yours as well. His death, His resurrection rescued us. His life and His teaching inspire and guide us. His mission and His message fuel and drive us. It's all about Jesus. It's only about Jesus, and it's always about Jesus. Let me be clear and let no one misunderstand. The church, not only the church around the world and across all of time, but this church belongs to Jesus. We are a Christian church, and that's not by accident, but by design. That is our name, because we are centered around Christ. We only want to become more like Him. Christian simply means little Christs. We just want to grow as Jesus calls us to grow and become more and more like Him. That's the whole call of discipleship. Jesus Christ is the center and circumference of who we are and all we do, no matter what it is. That is the heartbeat of our church. It starts, let me declare it, on the first Sunday of 2019 with Jesus, and it ends with Jesus. And He is the reason and the core of everything that happens here at Outlook. That's our goal. Paul goes on in verse 3, he says, "I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling." My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. How important it is where our faith rests. And it can be so easy to start to put our faith in other human beings, which will always end up being disappointing, right? And Paul made it clear that it's God's power, it's spiritual power that makes all the difference. In fact, spiritual power is the only true power. And nothing demonstrates the Spirit's power like changed lives. And I can testify, our church is full of changed and changing lives. That you walking around, me here today, we are a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Amen? We did not get here on our own. We did not figure this out all by ourselves. We did not pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We depended on the holy God of the universe to rescue and save us and then begin to show us how life was meant to be lived. We are a bunch of screw-ups, right? We are a bunch of imperfect people who are simply learning from Jesus how to live. That's what a New Testament church should be. We are not a bunch of religious prigs who think we're better than anyone else. I hope I can get an amen on that one, right? That's right. That's right. We are simply people dependent on the Spirit's power. And like I said, our church is full of changed lives. And let me say, as I reflect over these last 10 years that we've been here at this campus, we learned a year or two ago when we asked everyone in a survey, 4 out of 5 of you have only joined us sometime in these last 10 years. In other words, you've only known our church as Outlook Christian Church here at this location in these last several years. For 140 plus years before that, we were Oak Landon Christian Church, just a couple of miles away, with a rich history, which we'll get to talk about a little bit more in some sermons coming ahead. But as I reflected on today, as I reflected on the next steps that our church is taking, as I've been reflecting on the fact that next month we'll celebrate 10 years here at this campus, I'm reminded of how we prepared for you. How 4 out of 5 of you didn't know us until we were here, and all the sacrifice and prayer and preparation that went into, and some of you around here will remember, I'm seeing some faces, you were around, you know, we prayed and we preached and we prepared for today and for these last 10 years and all the life change that we've seen, right? You remember those days. I remember talking to all of you about envisioning the people who would call this their church home, how we had a sign out front that said Future Home of Outlook Christian Church. And how if you could see that sign with the faith in the eyes of God, that there would be countless names also on that sign, Future Home Of. Some of your names that we know today are the names I preached about 10, 12 years ago that would be on that sign, that we prepared for you. And we are a church always preparing for what's next, because we know that there are always souls who need the Lord that we have so joyfully discovered. Amen? And so we'll keep praying, and we'll keep preparing, and we'll keep preaching, because we can't stop, because the mission continues. So if you've been hurt, if you've been addicted, if you've been disappointed, you've been abused or harassed or confused or betrayed or lost or neglected or bored, we're here for you. We're a church that wants to welcome you to join us in learning how to live according to Jesus. Amen? We're here for you, and we'll keep preparing for more. Paul is saying here that it was only by the Spirit's power, not by my eloquence, not by any human wisdom, Paul says, that I tried to convince you, but by simply letting the Spirit do His work, which is what I prayed this morning, and that is certainly the ongoing prayer for us as a church. Every now and then I'll run into this idea that if you and I as human beings in a church, like we are right now, here we all are, if we set about a project or we look into the future, if we start, if it requires a lot of hard work, if it requires some sacrifice, or if it requires some thought and planning, that maybe we're somehow crowding out the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I'll run into that idea. That if it starts to seem like you and I have to break a sweat, then, well, maybe we're crowding out room for the Spirit. But let me just say that that is a false dichotomy, the idea that one crowds out the other. That if our hearts are right, if our love for Jesus is strong and we simply want to follow God, you can bet that He will call us to think and work hard. But if in all that hard working and thinking, our hearts are saying, Lord, Your will, not mine, be done. We only want to glorify You. Let's go. Empower us and give us the wisdom to see what it is You want us to do. And we promise we'll work as hard and sacrifice as deeply as we need to, Lord. We're not wanting to crowd out the Spirit. In fact, all we want to do is cooperate with the Spirit. Because you got to know, is the Holy Spirit more or less active than you and me? Are we going to somehow outpace the Holy Spirit? Is God somehow going to need to stop and catch His breath while we're charging ahead? That's not going to be the problem. I hate to say it. The problem's going to be He's waiting on us, right? He's got plenty to do, and He's ready to do it. And for some reason, He's chosen to do it through His people who have names like mine and yours. It's us. It's us. It's no one else. We don't look down the road or something. It's us. We get to partner with Him to do something. And so we're not crowding out the Spirit. In fact, we know that nothing good gets accomplished without the Spirit's power. Amen? And I can tell you, in our elders' meetings and in our ministerial staff meetings and in our whole staff meetings, reliance upon the Spirit is the heartbeat of everything we do and think and plan and foresee ahead. We only want to do what God wants us to do and what will bring Him glory, and nothing brings Him glory, and nothing demonstrates the Spirit's power more than changed lives. And we'll keep seeing and making room for that to happen. Let's go on. Verse 6, it says, Paul says, we do, however, okay, so Paul is saying, hey, this is not resting on human power, but God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What's he saying here? He's simply saying that while we're not there to convince you through our own human wisdom, there is a wisdom that needs to be declared, and there is an understanding that we need to have, but it comes from God. And it's not coming from this world that ignores God. It's not coming from just our own humanness. It's going to be a divine wisdom. And as we mature, key word, mature in Christ, we begin to apprehend that. We begin to understand that. We begin to get, oh, wait a second, this life's not all about me. Oh, wait a second, my finances are actually all belong to God, and I'm stewarding them to do as much good in this world as possible during the short time that I have them. Oh, my life is meant to be defined by love, not by selfishness or what gets me ahead. We start to apprehend all these things one at a time. As we grow, we start to understand them and internalize these lessons, and we're maturing. We always aim around here at Outlook to grow in maturity and in wisdom. Sometimes people will ask, is Outlook a seeker-sensitive church, or is Outlook a seeker-driven church? Sometimes churches get defined that way as being a church that what people usually mean by that is, do you preach the Bible or you just kind of talk and make everyone feel nice and comfy? Sometimes that's what they mean when they ask that kind of question. And my answer is always, the mission of the church is to develop disciples of Jesus. Now, it's wise for us to be cognizant that we always want to be welcoming to those who are still checking out what that even means, right? And so we always aim to do things in a way that makes the seeker, that's a decent way to describe someone who might be checking out God and faith, to make them feel welcome and not unnecessarily uncomfortable. And yet we also know that the primary reason we're here is to worship the God of the universe, as we've had the chance to so beautifully do, and then to open His Word and to learn from Him. And the Bible promises that when someone is sincerely seeking the truth and they come into a room of people who are with open minds and open hearts also sincerely seeking that truth, God takes care of the rest, right? And we see that again and again. So our aim is always that you and I are growing and developing as disciples of Jesus. And we don't have to get educated. Worldly wisdom doesn't count for much when it comes to learning how to truly live life, how to love others, how to have a good marriage, or how to raise our kids, or you name it. God's wisdom and God's word is the source of all that. And God's Spirit is the power, gives us the power to do that. We declare God's wisdom. Like we read here, we didn't used to understand it, but now we have. We used to fall for the lies of the age, so to speak, but now we do. We're starting to get it. We're progressing in that, and we'll speak that message of wisdom among the mature. As I think about life here at Outlook and what it's really all about, I just want to reestablish again for everyone what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, what it means to be an Outlooker. We say around here that our mission is to develop disciples of Jesus who connect and grow and serve and go. So let's talk that out for just a second. When we say connect, what we're talking about is making that yes to Jesus and connecting to His church. So if you've not yet done that, then the next steps for you are going to look like this. You're probably going to talk to some Christians that you know. You can certainly talk to any of us here, and certainly any of the ministers here would be happy to talk to you. And then you'll obey Christ. If you're ready to say yes and receive the gift of salvation, then we'll talk about baptism, because it's a beautiful thing that God has given us to do to as we make that yes to Jesus. And we'll also talk about then making Outlook your church home, or finding a church home that is the greatest fit for you. Because it's only as we commit to a family of believers that we really are saying to ourselves and others, I'm in this thing for the long haul. I need people around me, and that takes us to the next thing, and that is to grow. That as we've made our yes and we've said yes to a local church, we've made that connection, then we begin to grow. We find a group of people, a small group, might be just a couple people, might be a dozen or more, but we find a group of people that we can do life with, that we can open our Bibles with, we can pray together, we can be accountable to each other. Because if we think that we're going to live this Christian life all by ourselves, and no one has to know nothing about what's going on in my life, and I'm just going to do this, and I'll show up to church when I can, and it's all good, we are really missing so much of what the New Testament describes as a true life in Jesus, and we're missing, we're not going to grow. We're simply not going to grow the way the Bible describes. And so when we say connect and then grow, what we're saying is, I'm going to put down some roots and I want to be fruitful. I don't want to be the same person that I was last year. I want to grow. I want to mature, as we just read. And then as that's happening and really running, these things are not so much always sequential as they are coincidental. In that they happen at the same time, you begin to discover, hey, God has gifted me. And God has gifted every single one of us with a certain set of talents and spiritual gifts that bless the church and the world. And so you hear us talk a lot about serving. Serving means ministry. In other words, we believe, because the Bible teaches it, that every Christian is a minister. Because every Christian has a ministry. Every Christian is gifted to bless others, uniquely gifted to be fruitful and to make the world a better place and to make other people's lives better through what's going on in them, what God has put in them. That can mean you're working with kids or students, or you're greeting at the door, or you're passing communion, or you're helping us in sing songs of worship, or you're teaching, or you're leading a group, or gosh, there are so many things, or you're serving in missions and on our missions and outreach teams, or you name it. I mean, there's just so many different ways, and those are just the ones that are happening here, which leads us to go. And that is that so much of what we're supposed to be about as Christians is not what happens here, but what happens every place else in the world. Amen. And so we believe, and that's why we don't leave it out, that's why it's central and core to what we do here at Outlook, that going around the corner and around the world to share the love of Jesus is something that is not an option for disciples of Jesus. It's not just something a few zealous Christians go do, those weirdos that go on mission trips and stuff like that, right? Any weirdos in the house here? That's right. We have an increasing tribe of missions-minded people here at Outlook, and it's our constant prayer that more and more of you will catch that fever, that you will begin to see, wait a second, people need Jesus. And we begin to learn how to tell our own story. We begin to consider how we can share that with others in a way that's fitting and natural for us. And then we begin to realize that there are people in need locally and on the other side of the globe. And we realize God has given me so much. I want to give to them and I want to share love with them in tangible ways as well as with the spiritual good news of the gospel. And so all four of these verbs are essential to New Testament discipleship. They cannot be left out. We connect and we grow. We serve according to how we're gifted, and we go locally and into, as Jesus said, all the world. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And that should also mean what it that should also be what it means to be an outlooker, because they should be the same thing. Because that's all we want to do, amen, is be disciples of Jesus. Someone asked me this week, you know, in your years of ministry, how do you deal with the fact that some people just seem to keep having the same trouble or keep getting tied up in the same knot and keep getting upset about the same thing or whatever. And year after year, they'll keep coming around, but nothing seems to change. Is that frustrating for you? Well, yeah, it is. It is. It's exhausting sometimes, but not because, oh my gosh, I'm impatient and you're wasting my time or nothing like that. It's because it's so sad. We all have people in our lives, right? You see them and you see all their potential. You see all that they could become, but they're stuck. They're tied in a knot on something. They're caught in the riptide in some way of thinking or something that's happened that they just haven't been able to get past or get over or get healed from, and they're stuck. And you're wondering if they'll ever get unstuck. The reason it's so hard, the reason that it's exhausting is because it's squandered potential. And it's tragic. And it is tiring to see. And it's tiring to be, if we've ever been there, and many of us have. So I want to encourage you, in 2019, move to the next level, or so to speak, whatever that looks like for you. Take the next step. If you're here today and you're checking out what it means to follow Jesus, awesome. You're in the right place. So glad that you're here. Your next step, when you're ready, is going to look like connecting. It's going to look like saying yes to Jesus and His church. If you've already done that, then your ongoing, never-ending next step is all kinds of ways to grow, right? That's reading your Bible. That's learning how to pray. That's doing life together. That's being in a group, maybe one day leading a group. All those things are next steps, whatever that might look like for you. But everyone has a next step, and everyone needs to take it. No matter how you've been following Christ for 70 years, some of you, there's a next step for you. And if those things I've already said are already true of you, then I have to ask, are you serving according to the way God's gifted you? And believe me, God has gifted you for ministry, to do something to make the body of Christ stronger and our mission more effective. And so maybe you used to, maybe you got burnt out. That happens. But maybe 2019 is a year that you say, God, what's my place in your body? What's my place in your family and in your church, and what can I do to begin to serve according to the way you've gifted me? Or just start to learn to discover what that even means and what that looks like for you. Man, it's a blast, believe me. Once you start to discover that, it's addicting and it's awesome. Or maybe your next step is to go. Maybe Haiti, like I talked about earlier. Maybe 42nd and Post, which you hear us talk about a lot, a neighborhood that needs a lot of love. Maybe it's something local. Right around here, we're cooking up some more things here in our zip code to see happen in outreach. But maybe you've been hearing about it. Maybe you've been ignoring that tug for some time that says, hey, you should learn more about that, or you should consider that. Maybe your next step is to go, to get uncomfortable, to get out of your comfort zone, to do something like that. Well, I've been talking much longer than I anticipated, and I got to keep moving here, but I have every reason to believe that 2019 can be the time that you take your next step. Paul concludes this passage, or at least our part of the passage today in verse 9, by saying, "However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him, these are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit." What we see here is God prepares and God reveals. And so what has He revealed? Well, ultimately what Paul's talking about is the plan of salvation in Christ by grace through faith. That God has opened up a whole new thing in Jesus, and He has revealed that to us, and now we're living it out. We've been living it here on this planet for 2,000 years, and it's been spreading across the world. He continues to unfold that in my life and in your life through His mission and through every individual church all over the world across time. And it's a blast. Like I said, this reminds me of our church value of joy. We declare that we have fun. Following Jesus is not always easy, but it is enjoyable. And in fact, it's exciting and an adventure. So let's take these last couple minutes together to look at what God has prepared for Outlook. Well, like I said, when we moved here 10 years ago next month, look at that picture. We look so sad and lonely. Look at that. It's just that little building there and everything's so dark. And when we moved here 10 years ago next month, we knew that God had called us here, and we sensed in a very just deep and real way that He had plans for the next chapter of our church. He planted us in an area that's growing. The headlines are starting to accumulate that we are in the fastest growing municipality in the state right now. And there's lots of new homes coming in, lots of development. All of that means souls, amen? All of that means people that we want to be ready for. Now, so much has happened in the last 10 years. We are a thriving, healthy church full of wonderful people. And I believe personally that we're a church full of people who sincerely want to follow Jesus. I get to see and witness that in so many of you all the time. And so good things are happening in individual lives. But now, because this is really in the DNA of our church, we're always asking, God, what's next? Just a couple years ago, we dedicated the second phase of this building and made room for kids and did all kinds of cool stuff there. It's very exciting. And has that space been useful for us? And as we consider now what's next and how our community is growing, we're actually turning our eyes toward not necessarily first a new addition to this building, but we're turning our eyes toward what we call our back 33. We're on 17 acres up front here, and 33 that we really don't see from here, ground level, in the back. You can see it in this aerial shot. Here is a better view of those back 33 acres. And so while we're also giving a lot of thought to a worship auditorium one day and how we will expand this building, we see that there are some things that can get started, we can get started on now, and some things that we need to get started on soon. I'll explain those in a second. We believe that this space back here, however, can be very effectively and simply utilized as a park and activity space for our community, open to all. We really don't have a great green space here in McCordsville. We don't have a great, a large park of any kind. And we've always thought, as soon as God bless us with this property, that could be how we use this space. Open to all for all kinds of fun, you know, family and sports activities, you name it, all kinds of good stuff. Here's a look at some conceptual plans that we'll have a chance to look at some more, and you have it in on your chair this morning. But what we're also realizing is that we have some work to do before a single additional structure is built and before we can bridge that creek and move over and do anything in the back 33, so to speak. We have to move some dirt around, we have to level some elevations, and we have to add a drive and expand our pond. So what's going on in that circle there in, just shows some drive that needs to be put in and how our retention pond needs to grow a little bit to make everything possible. And then what's happening in the dotted lines is very simple. It's some places where dirt's got to move from one place to another so that our elevations are more level and our drainage works and all that good stuff. All of that has to be done before we can even build a stick of a building. But it also has to be done if we're going to do anything one day on the other side of that creek. And so it's very simple stuff, but it's very necessary stuff. At the same time, we have a mortgage on this building that we are taking the opportunity at this point to want to lower. We'll talk more about that. But what we want to see happen is that we would lower our mortgage significantly in the next 3 years through this giving initiative that we'll be talking about as well. There's a print piece, like I said, on your chair or on the chair next to you that I want you to take home with you. We're going to be talking about this some more. And if you're in a life group, if you're a life group leader, feel free to reach out to me or I'll be reaching out to you. Joe Mitchell, our executive minister, and I will be visiting every group possible to make sure everyone's questions are answered. Today, I'm just introducing the concept. This will be far from the last time that we'll get to chat about this. But I do want to, in broad strokes, just share what is next. And again, this is not about dirt or debt or dollars in the end. It's about our mission. These are the tangible tasks of a very spiritual mission. And so, yeah, a financial challenge certainly is a moment to hit pause and remember what we can accomplish together and what it means and what's the why behind it. It's a good opportunity to do that. But it's not just because of that. These are the things we need to remember no matter what. And we will. And we'll meet this financial challenge. But more than that, we will live life in Christ together. And we will meet the challenge of all the years ahead with faith and with power, just as we always have. Not because we're so great, but because God is so with us and so great. And we depend upon Him. Amen? That's always what this has been about. I believe we're called to be amazing, not apathetic, to accomplish not small but significant things, things that make a difference, things that can be felt by many people and across generations. I believe that God is building and wants to continue growing a prevailing church in McCordsville, northern Hancock County, northeast Indianapolis, and that we can be and keep being exactly that church. So we're giving and we're going to be asking all of us to give, not because dollars and dirt are so compelling, but because the mission is. Some steps are exciting, like building a children's center, and some steps are just necessary. But in maturity, we recognize all of that and just take the next step. Why? Because it's about Jesus. Because spiritual power is the only power that really matters, and because we're going to keep growing. Are you ready? This is the question I sense the Spirit asking. Get ready, and you'll want to be ready. This is the Lord's admonition and encouragement to all of us. Let's pray about that. Father, we thank you for your word to us today, and we certainly want to just say yes. We want to be ready. We want, when we sense that question, are you ready? We want our answer to be, yes, I'm ready. Oh, yeah, we don't know what all that'll mean. We certainly don't have all the details always figured out, but we're prepared. We're hungry. We're expectant. We anticipate, God, that you have good things planned for us, and we want to be on deck and warmed up, ready to do what you call us to do. That's our prayer. And in these next weeks, God, be with us as we keep praying it, and keep looking for your answers to it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for choosing to worship today together. We love you. God bless you and have a great week. Go in peace.